Peace, party people. Welcome back to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At, episode 143 in season 8. And I got another special guest. I have D. Sacral Genie. And we're going to talk a little bit about sex, a little bit about sexuality, body autonomy, or bodily autonomy. So take notes, pay attention, and check it out. Killer Tape At, B. Peace, party people. Welcome back to episode 143 of Where My Killer Tape At. And I got a special guest for y'all tonight. Some of y'all might know her on Instagram and on Twitter as The Sacral Genie. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. This is my first summer off, so it's like I'm learning how to relax. Like, I'm learning how to say, hey, I could just chill, you know. So I'm like, I could just chill. Like, I don't have to work, right?
Doesn't it feel just amazing to just be able to just be?
Yes, it is. That I could just, I don't have nowhere to go. I still get up early in the morning, but I don't have to rush. So
Yeah. We do much, like, and we forget, like, to just sit there and just allow ourselves to absorb the moment. And we're just always rushing and trying to do something, and we don't just enjoy life. So I'm happy for that for you.
Thank you. How about you? How's your summer going so far?
My summer is going. It's just been just random stuff happening, but good stuff.
Okay, good.
A lot of sleepless nights, but for good reason. Like, I mean, I've been doing my, like, doula certification stuff, so trying to get that taken care of, and just doing the podcast, working, you know, every day.
That's dope. But so you're like working, but it's like community work. It's like,
yes,
which is still work. I don't want to be like, oh, you know, but it's still work. You know what I'm saying?
It's still work, but it's work that satisfies me. So
for people that are listening, Sacral Genie, what do you do? Like, not, and what I mean by that, I'm not saying what do you do to pay your bills, but what do you do?
So, my brand, The Sacral Genie. By the way, also my real name is Dree. So, I mean, like, you can call me either or. But The Sacral Genie is basically I don't want to say it's a character because it really is still me. But it's just like my alter ego. It's just who I am spiritually. I came up with that name just on the fly. Like, it's crazy how I will get into that later. But what I do is I basically help women to build their confidence. Yeah. So if you're familiar with the sacral chakra, that is associated with your sensuality, your sexuality, pleasure, creativity, emotions, all of that good stuff. And so I just basically try to, I gotta stop saying basically because what I do is I just try to help people heal that certain chakra, really heal all of your chakras, and just really build upon the confidence levels.
Got you. And I think it's okay. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was agreeing with you.
No, I'll say I think it's dope because I don't remember how I started following you on Instagram.
I know.
I want to say it was from Leroy and them.
Oh, for real?
I think it was Leroy and Mariah and was following you, and I think they have reposted something you in their IG story, and I was like, oh, this person's local, dope.
Yeah.
So I want to say that's what it was. I want to say. I'm getting up there where I had too many kicks to the head, so it's like,
whatever.
I don't remember everything. So like,
I mean, hey, I don't remember exactly either, so that is okay.
So I wasn't stalking you or nothing like that. Definitely not doing that. So.
Whatever. You can stalk me. I don't care. So,
don't say that.
Oh my gosh.
But so, yeah. So my biggest question has always been, because how did you get to where you are? Like, how did your journey begin?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so basically, like, before doing the sacral, like, my podcast as it is now, mm-hmm. I had a podcast prior to this where it was called Edibles, and I just had basically weekly guests, mostly my friends and stuff, and we would talk about sex, just talking about it, talking shit about it, or I would just, you know, talk about kinks and stuff and try to educate people, and it did pretty well, but what I realized is that, like, I feel like I'm not growing, like, as a person while doing this podcast. Like, I want to do something that makes me feel completely fulfilled while gotcha. Still educating about sex. And so then I started my own self-love journey separate of the podcast. And I started learning more about chakras, yoga, and things of that nature. And then I was like, you know what? I want to incorporate all of this into my podcast because it all coincides. Like, you know, like, I have to teach about this. So that's where the name came from. When I learned about the sacral chakra, I was like, okay, so now I know what the baseline is. So how am I gonna make that into a name? And then that's when I learned about sex magic and what you can do with that, and that's a whole nother topic, but magic and genie, I was like, okay, so let's do sacral genie. I like this.
Cool. So you answered my next question. So really it was like a gradual process. It wasn't like you woke up one morning, had an epiphany. That's dope.
That's good. Like, I love it.
That's dope. Because usually somebody will be like, oh, you know, I fell down some steps and boom, you know, or I had a horrible breakup and, you know, and it's like, and I went through, which is not wrong with that. I think that journey is interesting when it's a gradual, like, you learn a little bit here, you learn a little bit there, and then you learn something new.
Podcast was basically like, it was just I fell down and like, oh, okay, let's talk about sex. It's kind of edible. But this one was really me taking my time and learning myself. And I was able to create that brand. So, yeah.
And, you know, even though edibles sound like y'all was going to talk about weed, it sounded like he was like reviewing edibles. Like, oh, we got these edibles from Nestle. And you know, what do you give it? I give it 3 out of 5 stars. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Which is not a bad idea, right?
No, but what I was doing with edibles was that I'm a big foodie. So okay. I like to talk about aphrodisiacs and stuff. And that's what I did. I incorporated, like, new, like, facts about aphrodisiacs that can heighten your sex drive and stuff. So I called it edibles, but yeah, that was the big thing. Everyone thought I was talking about weed.
And let me just say this, the concept that you had of the show, I thought that's a dope concept.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I think it's a dope. Yeah, talking about sex, like, and you know, and because I think what happens is, and that's why, like, when I brought you on the show, I didn't want to, like, mystify you or make, you know what I'm saying, like, make you seem like you're this otherworldly person or what you can do is not attainable. And I think what happens is a lot of times we see people, especially online, and we'll be like, I can't do what they do,
right?
You know, because we hold them up on such a high level, we'd be like, oh, I can't do that. So, but I think the way you talk about sex, the way you talk about sexuality, the way you talk about, you know, in your Instagram is something that's like it's very comfortable for me.
Yeah.
Right.
I aim for, like, mm-hmm. I want to be comfortable for everyone. Like, I mean, yes, my brand is mostly, you know, like, geared towards women.
Yes.
But that's because that's my experience. But I want everyone to be able to learn from what I talk about because it's definitely gender neutral. So
yeah,
I love that.
Because I know you do like a lot of dancing, right? You dance a lot. And I mean, it's just regular dancing. You're not like, it's not, and not, you know, I love pole dancing, first of all. It's not to hate. I'm just saying that, again, pole dancing is something that a lot of people look at and they be like, oh, I can't do that. But Okay.
I've not learned just yet, but that is something that is on the go. Like, I have to get, I used to have a little pole in my room mm-hmm. years ago, but I need to go ahead and dig back into that bag because that not only, like, is it sexual, but if you just get you a pole and go into the mirror and just, like, just look at your body and how it can just move and it'll get you to want to move, like, just wind around the pole and do a whole bunch of different things. Throw your body around. Like, that is just amazing to me.
But, Dree, you do that already.
Without the pole, right?
Without the pole. And that was my point. My point was that You're not like, oh, you guys should do this belly dance. You know, you guys should do this particular dance from this particular part of the world. You just be like, hey, just dance. And I think, and I'm a dancer, so I know, like, to me, moving is, to me, is life, mm-hmm. right? They say fluidity is life and rigidity is death, right? So, right. like, and part of learning how to love my body was falling in love with how I move. And I think in your videos, you really, you don't say it that way, but the vibes that you're giving. That's what you're saying.
That's literally it.
Yeah, just dance. And I'm like, okay, she's not doing nothing, that no one can't do is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So. And just like, and I love what you said just then, just making sure that you incorporate flow into your daily life, like get the stiffness out of you. Like, just, I feel like a lot of us just feel like the only time where you can dance is just if you're at a dance type of setting.
Yes. Yes.
No, you can do it at home, do it in the mirror.
Especially at home.
You know, and like, I think that's one of the things that helped me with my confidence building was just like, just stripping down in the mirror. I don't necessarily mean naked, but yes, naked too. But just stripping down in the mirror and just looking at myself and just like touching and moving and stuff and just seeing how my body just does what it does naturally. So,
and you know what? I've told people, like, when I used to do like personal training, I used to tell people, and I do it too. Be naked in front of the mirror.
Yes.
Like, that's how you learn about your body. That's how you learn about your body. Because a lot of times we just, you know, we jump in the shower. We have a particular routine of how we clean ourselves. You know, we come back out, dry ourselves. We throw our lotion on, our oils or whatever. And then we go. We probably look in the mirror once we put our clothes on.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And there's parts of our body that we've never actually, like, really looked at, like, and there were parts of my body that I didn't discover until I started doing that.
Exactly. Like, I tell people to look at their genitals, like, mm-hmm. because when's the last time that you actually looked like in there and stuff like that to see what it looks like, to make sure it's okay, to just acknowledge it, other than just when you wash it or when you use it to have sex? Like, no, like, this is your body part and you don't even know what it looks like. So, yeah, I tell people all of the time to just look at yourself in the mirror and just get acquainted with who you are. Get comfortable. And I think that that's one of the number one ways that I've helped people, you know, build confidence is just mm-hmm. by saying, like, this is you. This is you. And you're not going to change. This is literally the body that you were given. So you might as well.
Facts. Facts.
Bam. Yeah.
Facts. And then, so then you kind of talked about how you got the name Sacral Genie, mm-hmm. and how it came to you. And I thought it was interesting because I know, like, genie is like the English version of gin. Mm-hmm. The gin. Some people say the gin, D-J-I-N-N. And mm-hmm. In those Middle Eastern cultures and Eastern Asian cultures, gin are considered like evil. And what they couldn't understand, what they didn't understand, they would say the gin did it. A gin did it. Like, you know, every once in a while, there's a good one. But most of them are considered like evil or taboo.
Yeah.
So, and I think
that you bring up taboo. Go ahead.
No, and I was just gonna say that I think it's dope that you take that term and you made it something because you want to add that magical aspect to it and made it something positive. You know.
Exactly. And I think like there's a lot of things that we've kind of shunned and made it to be a negative thing, like. I don't want to get too deep into it, but like how they like the term a witch, like that's automatically associated with evil and, you know, and devil and stuff like that. But it's like there's good ways that a witch can be, you know, can be or whatever. Like, I feel like I don't subscribe to most of what people term as taboo or whatever. Like, I don't automatically just think that it's a bad thing. I like to literally go in deeper and discover, you know, what ways that it could be good. And that's always been me. I've just always been like this person who's kind of a rebel and who wants to just like
The dope part is that I came up the same way, right? You know, my folks are from the Dominican Republic, so mm-hmm. anything that was, we call it brujeria, witchcraft was called brujeria. We said brujeria.
And the easiest way to get us to not do something, like if we're hanging out somewhere and they don't want us to hang out over there, they'd be like, oh, so brujería. And it's like, oh, okay, we're not going to mess around with that then. Like, oh, okay, we're not even going to, you know, oh, we're good. Because we hear so many bad stories. Yeah. But the wild part, the part that I still like be like, yo, y'all, that's why, like, when I look at my folks from where they're from and they say something to me, I'll be like, no, I disagree. I'm going to disagree with you. Because they told me a lot of stuff that was wrong.
Yeah.
Same. All the witches I knew were my favorite people.
Yeah. See?
Right? Like one of my favorite aunts, she's a witch. She's one, like, I love her. Like, I love her. Like, there's no, like, she's always just been so dope to me. You know what I mean? And she's healed me in ways that I've never seen since. Right? So I never understood that. I'm like, why y'all telling me brujería is bad? But all the women that I know in my life that have been positive and good are witches. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I never really, like, even like now, like even when I left New York City and I traveled around the country and I met people, all the dope women that I know, they were witches. They were like, oh yeah, I get down. Like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh wow. So it's just wild to me. A lot of it is because it's sexism, of course, and misogyny.
Yeah,
colonialism, you know, Christianity, all that stuff. Like, it's all of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna act like somebody just made that up. But I know from my experience, the people in my life that were witches were actually very, very good people.
And that's always how it's been in my experience too. Like, people will condemn things that they don't know.
Yeah.
People automatically just put up a shield around things that they don't understand. Like, I remember, like, you know, like, little superstitions, like if you go up to the register and your total comes up to 666 or whatever, and they're like, oh no, take something off or put something on. And I'm like, that's actually an angel number, but okay, we're not even gonna get into that. But you know, like, it's just weird how they automatically take something and run with it instead of trying to discover it. And that's I'm the opposite of that. I want to learn why is it that we associate it with evil? Is it really evil? Like, come on.
And just to say this, that the witches in my community, they healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, my encounters with them were all for healing. And I'm not saying that people didn't go to them to put, you know, a hex on somebody. I'm not going to say that didn't happen. But my experience, you know, and I'm speaking for my siblings and all of them, was because somebody got hurt, somebody needed healing. Mm-hmm. This happened and somebody needed healing. Somebody was going through this and we didn't trust hospitals. We didn't trust doctors. And, you know, so it was always healing. Even if we did go to the doctor, they would still pull up, you know what I mean? And add on, you know what I'm saying? And again, so that's always been my experience with healing, which going back to what you do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get too deep into, like, sexual trauma, but a lot of us have sexual trauma, even the men, especially the men, right? Yes,
for sure.
And what you do is kind of like healing, and you were talking about healing that chakra.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do that in particular?
To do that chakra?
Yes, that healing. That you said, I want to heal. I want to do this chakra, and I want to heal people.
Well, a number of different things. I mean, since I already had the podcast talking about sex, obviously that kind of gravitated towards me. But I mean, like, I've had certain encounters. I don't want to say that it was trauma, but then again, I'm working on that with my therapist. She's like, no, that's trauma.
Yeah, So, yeah. But
look, you're about to have me open up. Ooh.
And if you don't, and if you don't feel comfortable, it's all love. We can move on. Like, I understand.
No, it's okay. When I was about, I want to say 12 or 13, I was sought after by an almost 30-year-old man. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So. Which is that's a very common thing. Mm-hmm. None of us are going to act like it's not. And that's the reason why R. Kelly got away with it for so long. It's a very common thing. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But it is very, very common, especially in our community. So I was sought after an older man, and it was definitely an experience. And for the longest, I took on that shame, and I took on that responsibility, as in, like, okay, I was still, like, you know, going after him too, you know, like we went after each other. And it's like, as I got older, I'm like, nah, sis, that was not
good.
So, but he was the person that even introduced me to sex. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah,
introduced my mind to even want to have sex. I was so innocent when I was a kid. I was like not cussing. I wasn't thinking about. I was really, really, I went to church with my people like that. And then when that happened, like, I think I met him on MySpace or something like that. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's how I kind of got into sex in general as a child. So, but ever since then, I've always been super duper curious about sex. Like, mm-hmm. even I could even date before then. Like, I used to sometimes go to the HBO, you know, the little real sex and stuff come on. And
Oh, wow.
I know, I was bad.
No, that's not.
Out of curiosity. Like, what is this? What are they doing?
And I'm not trying to be funny, you know, as a parent, actually real HBO real sex. Now, I wouldn't have had my 13-year-olds, you know, my sons or daughter to watch it, but it was a safe space, though.
It was
because it educated me on a lot of stuff. That show really educated me. Some people saw it as they didn't do that, though. They didn't have, like, they weren't having people have sex, though.
Yeah.
They talked about it, right? Yep. You know, you might have saw some people that were naked. Mm-hmm. But they usually discuss what they was doing and how they got into it. So you got introduced to all these communities. So I would rather, if my children were sneaking it, I would rather have them snuck that than snuck Pornhub. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would rather my students, because I teach eighth grade, like, I would rather them, if they were going to sneak and do it, I'd rather them do HBO real sex than what they do now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. That was a gem to me. I really wish that it would come back. But yeah, I learned about sex work and everything.
It's on HBO Max, just to let you know that. If you have HBO, yeah, it's on HBO Max. So if you want to see it on HBO Max, it's on there, all the episodes. Yeah, so.
Okay, here.
Because I'm going back to rewatch it. I was like, because there were some episodes that I missed. Because I didn't have cable. I just happened to be at somebody's house. And I'm like, oh, can I watch real sex? And be like, yeah.
And I've seen maybe like 2-3 episodes because I was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you had a sneak. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to go and watch it. But yeah, so all of that, I was always just very, very curious about sex. And then when I just went into my spiritual journey, and honestly, I didn't get into this journey literally until about 3 to 4 years ago.
Okay.
So, like I said, going into my self-love journey and trying to learn about what do I associate sex with? Like, mm-hmm. why do I even want to have sex? What arouses me? Why does it arouse me in this way? And connecting that with spirituality and learning that it's a natural process. It's something that everybody has, something that everybody wants, and it's no shame in it at all. So just learning to remove the shame and just going through the healing process, therapy, everything.
And that's dope. That's dope. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that because you didn't have to.
Oh, no, that's fine. It's fine. Like, I never spoke about it only because, like, I didn't know how I wanted to speak about it yet. And that just, like, that felt good to get that out. I appreciate
it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Man. You made me feel. I'm having a great day already. You just made it better.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you just made it better.
It's actually helping my day because I was having a shitty day. I'm not going
to
lie.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Helping, so. I appreciate you.
Oh, no doubt. I appreciate you for coming on. And again, thank you for your honesty. And I'm glad you brought up real sex and everything. And I think the key is it doesn't have to be like, I know we're trying to get rid of that. We're not trying to use that word taboo, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be taboo. You know what I mean? Right. And I think you talking about your journey, you know, helps people see that, yo, it's not that taboo. And there's some dangerous spaces, you know, mm-hmm. MySpace didn't have all the restrictions that you have now.
Exactly.
You know, so it was the wild, wild west out there. And I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry that, you know.
Life, you know.
But it shouldn't have to be that way, though. It shouldn't have to be that way. It, you know, yeah. That there are men out there that they prey on young girls like that. Young girls, you know.
Absolutely. And it's just something that I definitely am very, very passionate about. Like, I really want to make sure that everybody understands, like, you have a choice. You literally can take back body autonomy.
Yes.
You can literally be in control of what you desire. You have the right to pleasure. Like, you are the key factor here. And that's always what I want to push to women and men, just everyone. Like,
Dree, perfect segue. Because I was like, oh, we're going to do this bodily autonomy. Some people call it body autonomy. Some people call it body integrity. Yeah. So we're going to talk about bodily autonomy, because when I look at your video, that's the first thing I think about, right? Mm-hmm. Body autonomy, like this, that's your body. You're going to do what you want with it. Again, you just say you make the choices and the decisions. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use a definition from the Positive Women's Network. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes. So if anybody on the show wants to check it, they can just go to the show notes and it'll be in there. Mm-hmm. And their definition, of course, is a simple but radical concept that individuals have the right to control what does and does not happen to our bodies. When we have full bodily autonomy, not only are we empowered to make decisions about our health and future without coercion or control by others, which we're seeing happening now, mm-hmm. we also have the support and resources needed to meaningfully carry out these decisions. And again, I thought that definition was crucial with what's going on now. With Roe mm-hmm. v. versus Wade. I don't want, if we want to talk about that, we could touch on it, but we could also save it for another episode.
Either or, I'm.
So yeah, I got you, definitely. So that's another, so party people, we got her coming back. We're going to talk about Roe v. Wade. So, so when I see your videos, a lot of it is body autonomy. Mm-hmm. But then we kind of touched on it earlier when we talked about looking in the mirror and really loving our bodies, because I think a lot of times it's very difficult to us accept bodily autonomy, because a lot of us find our bodies to be ugly.
Yeah. that was me. That was definitely me once upon a time.
which I can't imagine, like, because you're very beautiful. You have a dope body. You're very, very, you're very beautiful. So like all that works, that magic works much better that way. Right.
Definitely, you know? Does. I think also the confidence is just the sexiest part about me. So I think that me, you know, like loving myself loudly and publicly, it encourages other people to do the same thing. You don't want to be as public as I am. I just want you to understand that you are beautiful as well.
True indeed. And again, your videos, you do them, I'm assuming, I don't want to put your biz out there. You do it at home, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's another thing that's dope, is because you're not like, and I'm not trying to hate on nobody that does this, because eventually you're going to level up and you're going to have to get a studio, right? But you know, like, you don't have to drive away and go to a studio to create that space that where you feel beautiful in.
Right. You know? Right. And the privacy in my own home, just it helps out. Like, when I do create content and things like that, like, it helps out to just be, to be comfortable in front of the camera. Because at first I was very, very camera shy. Like,
wow.
I did my very, very first podcast. I did that without any camera or anything, because I was like, that was still when I was in like a low point. I didn't feel very beautiful. I didn't feel like I wanted to be seen. I didn't think that my voice matched my body and things like that. So I was like, no, people would ask me, like, when are you going to, like, do video podcasting and stuff? And I'm like, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel comfortable. But then eventually I started just doing nothing but video podcasting until recently. I'm like, okay, I can do both. We can, mm-hmm. You can see me and you can hear me. That's fine.
Cool.
But, yeah. It's a lot.
And I think that what I realize is that at a very young age, you know, like, my partner, she's super gorgeous, super duper duper gorgeous, right? Mm-hmm. And I tell her as much as I can, I tell her. But there's an entire, as soon as she walks out that door, or she turns on the TV, or she opens up her laptop or phone, mm-hmm. there's an entire industry that says that she's not
right,
she's not gorgeous, that she's not. On top of people saying, you know, funny things in the comments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like, so I always tell the brothers, I'd be like, hey, you know, you could tell your partner every day, but remember, there's an entire industry out there. Mm-hmm. There's an entire culture and field that says you are not ugly unless you look like this, unless you wear this, unless you dress like this, unless you weigh at this point, you X amount of pounds, and you can wear this kind of size zero and all of that, you're ugly and you're terrible and no one's going to love you.
And that is so real. And I think, like, especially during my teenage years, I definitely was, I was fighting that. I was like, I'm not like super duper, I'm not chocolate or anything, but I'm definitely in between. I'm very brown. And I didn't think that that was pretty. I thought that I had to be lighter. I thought that I had to have long hair, you know, have a certain body shape and stuff. But then I started like, well, like I said earlier, like starting to fall in love with my body. But I also realized like this industry is really full of, am I able to cuss on here?
No. Oh yeah, definitely, motherfucker. You can cuss. Okay. Oh yeah.
I was gonna say, like, industry is full of bullshit. Like, industry is literally taking parts that they said were undesirable about Black women, especially.
Oh my now, god!
They're doing implants, they're doing lip plumping, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, they really are just taking us apart in order to build themselves up. So I'm
Facts.
Fuck all of that, because obviously I am the prize. I am what is desirable. Y'all just don't like it because it's on me.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck. That's a problem. So that's a big confidence boost for me, and I actually thrive off of that type of energy.
That's dope.
Thrive off of that. So,
and you know, the Venus of Willendorf was found in Europe. You know what I mean? Wow. I always remind, I'd be like, the Venus of Willendorf, they dug that up in Europe. You know what I mean? They dug that up, and so they knew, even their ancestors knew. You know,
like seriously. So it's really a joke to me. Like whenever I hear things like that, like, you know, like the industry doesn't like, you know, the type of body that you have, and I'm like, yes, the fuck they do.
Yeah, you right. Yep.
But
and I'm gonna say that for me, from what I've seen, from what I've witnessed, because I'm old enough to know a time when the internet wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the internet has been good for women who didn't fit that mold, that particular Eurocentric standard of beauty, mm-hmm. right? Because you know, and I think it's amazing. I think it's magical. I'm gonna go ahead and say it's magical to see women, you know, especially Black women, who don't fit the Eurocentric, you know, standard of beauty, out mm-hmm. there shining and being themselves and showing themselves off mm-hmm. and being able to pay their rent off of that, being able to, you know, mm-hmm. pay bills, you know what I'm saying? Like, and to circumvent, you know, the modeling agencies and all of that and the magazines, they could circumvent that. They don't even got to go through that no more and be themselves and show their, you know, be their full goddess selves.
Mm.
And again, being able to pay bills doing it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Exactly. It's a new era that we're in, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. It's giving luxury.
That's good. That's dope. That's what I want to hear. That's why it's giving luxury. That is giving luxury. So here's my next question, because I know you don't really do edibles anymore, but would you consider going to that format for what you do now?
Yes.
That'll be super dope. That'll be dope.
I knew you were gonna ask that. Like, yeah. I was like, yes. So it's funny that you say that, because I had a guest on my live a month ago, maybe two. Her name is Bree, and she's like a Dom-ish type of person. So she does like a lot of impact play and stuff like that. But we were talking about possibly doing this, maybe like a Wind Down Wednesday situation on live. I don't know if I want to make it a live or if I do want to do it as part of my podcast. But mm-hmm. I really miss that dynamic. And I think it's just a matter of getting the person, somebody who is willing to do that with me and be consistent with it with me. So.
Oh, that'll be dope. That'll be you wouldn't flip the guests like.
I would, okay. But I want to still have like a co-host, like someone that I can build.
Gotcha. That would
be dope. But I mean, like, I want to do weekly guests still. Mm-hmm. I want to have men and women. I want to all, you know, share our experiences and what we've learned and stuff. So that would be amazing.
Definitely. I'm going to keep an eye out for you. I'm going to definitely keep an eye out and see if somebody's local. Definitely. Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Definitely. No, I think that's dope. And it's neat. I think that's dope and is needed, of course, especially locally, mm-hmm. right? Especially locally, okay. where, you know, for people that look for particular kinks, they have to go out of the city. Oh, you know yeah. what I mean? You know, but then, you know, Dayton is it's just a lot slower than other places.
Yeah.
So it'll slowly pick it up, you know.
It will. It takes for more people that are like us, that are open-minded yeah. and willing to teach, like, and make it okay. Make it a safe space. I think that's one mm-hmm. of the big things. I feel like there's a lot of people who will be into it. They just don't have that safe space for it. So
I agree. And I must say this. Mm-hmm. Again, not to hate on that community. There are different kink communities here, but they're all white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what the, whereas if you go to places like New York or you go to places like even Houston, right? Like there's a big black, there you go. There's a big black community that does that. There's a part of the black community that does those different kinks.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I think that's, you know, Dayton eventually will get one. But you know, but I noticed that the communities here, they're, you know, nothing against them. It's just, again, going back to those safer spaces.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
feeling comfortable, you know, and it is, oh, there's also that, you know, there's also, systemic oppression. So you don't,
oh yeah.
It takes us longer to feel a little bit safer.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. So, that's one of the things that I do want to start dipping into is starting to, you know, form community within our own city. That would be amazing. But it's just a matter of finding those people. Like I mm-hmm. get a lot of people who say that they're interested, but then they like kind of back out. So it's hard, but I'm gonna keep trying.
I will say this, because I'm not from here, I'm an implant. And mm-hmm. I know like most people that we know that are from here, they just like sticking with their peoples. They usually don't venture out, because the dope thing about Dayton is that Dayton is a city, but it does have that small town appeal.
It's very cliquish.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't say cliquish, because I feel like you're gonna be comfortable around the people that you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna, you're never, it's gonna be very rare for certain people to venture out of that.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I don't feel that it's cliquish. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I won't get invited to certain barbecues because only family, like blood family, is invited. You know what I mean? And I respect that. I'm like, okay, cool. You just want your family to come too, so I get it.
And then certain family barbecue. Hold on, wait.
No. I've never felt unwelcome moving to Dayton. And I'm speaking for my entire family. I'm not speaking for just myself. You know, I'm speaking for like even my family don't even live here. When they come visit, they be like, "Oh, it's dope. We love coming out there." So, and everybody, all the businesses, even the businesses I frequent are very friendly. They're very open. They're very welcoming. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not saying that no one has ever made me feel that. I just understand that y'all have 4th of July barbecue. It's just you and your peoples. And I kind of understand that kind of also comes out in like communities. Like if you want to create like a particular kink community, it's a lot difficult to do it here because mm-hmm. people are less apt to be outside of the people that they know. That's, you know,
that is true. And I didn't even think of it.
Yeah. That. So you probably wouldn't notice it because you're from here, you know, whereas you are from here, right?
Yeah.
So where I'm not, and that's something that, and I've lived in different cities before. I've been an implant in other cities before.
Oh, wow.
And I've gotten that saying like, oh, okay, cool. And I get it, you know, so yep.
That's crazy. Where are you from again?
I'm from New York City originally. Born and raised in New York City. Then I joined the military. And then traveled. Then when I got out of the military, I moved to different parts of the city, the parts of the country, and then eventually ended up in Dayton.
Hey, oh, I'm glad you ended up here. Oh, we have to really.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you,
definitely. Whenever. Okay. I am a regular at the Barrel House. My name is in the shout out to the Barrel House. My name is in the bathroom for people to take selfies in.
So, really?
Yeah. So.
okay. Wow.
So,
I mean, I would love to make that community happen. So whoever's listening, you know, hit me up and we can make this happen.
Definitely. And I'm going to keep an eye out because I know you want to start restart that podcast or add on to your podcast.
Yeah.
You need somebody that's, I'm going to definitely keep an ear out open. So
please do. Thank you. Definitely.
And we're here to help each other. So like,
yes.
And you know, I definitely want you to level up. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I will, you know. like I said, I followed you on Instagram. Like, yo, she's dope. And then I hit you up. Like, I know I hit you up like in February. Like, I'm in March, I'm gonna take a break. But the break lasted longer than I expected.
That's okay.
So I was like, because I know some people, because I know a lot of times, I shouldn't get offended. Well, a lot of times people will say, yo, I want to do this with you. And I'm like, yo, let's go. What you want to do? What's up, son? Let's go. You know, and they'd be like, they don't respond. And I'm like, damn, what happened? Oh yeah, I'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm a photographer. I want to do, I'm like, yo, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go, son. And it'll be, and it's crickets.
I've had that experience too, so don't even worry about it.
I'll be butthurt. I'll be like, damn, what'd I do? Did I come on too strong?
You know, I learned to not take it personal only because, like, I know that they probably really wasn't ready. Because I've done that to people before, like, a long time ago. Like, okay, I really want to do this. And then, like, I really was just deep down was not ready. Like, oh, I didn't expect you to be so ready. I meant later on. So yeah, I've learned, like, I don't want to wait, you know. And I'm not saying that as in, like, you know, don't take your time to do things, but I'm all Aries energy, Sag, Leo, all of that wrapped into one person. So I'm very, very impulsive, and that can be a good and a bad thing. But I really want to, like, just, I don't want to keep taking my time on things. Like, time is of the essence. Like, I want to, yeah, if it's something I really want to do, I'm going to do it.
Here's the science, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're a creative.
Mm-hmm.
And creatives have to be impulsive. So yeah. That's why I don't even like to use the word impulsive. I don't even like to, like,
yeah.
Creatives have to have that mindset where there's a particular moment that excites them, and that's when they create.
Yeah.
And once that excitement is gone, you don't have the energy to put into that piece anymore. But then you get this, other spark over here, and you're like, oh, let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's what makes, you got to stay that way, because that's what keeps you fresh and keeps you creating. So it's not impulsive. It's just, you know, as a creative, that's how certain creatives continue to put out dope stuff, right?
You're right.
So because I'm married to a creative, and she's the same way. And I've always encouraged her to be like, yo, do that. If you don't feel like doing this, don't want to do it. I know that in this capitalist system, that's not something you can market, right?
Right.
It's not something you can market. So, like, it wouldn't work inside of a capitalist system, right? Mm-hmm. If you had to depend on eating, that's not going to work in particular. Right. But as a creative, that's what you do. Go do your art. Go do what you do. If you feel like dancing today, then dance. If you don't feel like doing this video today, then don't do the video. And I think that you should, it's not impulsive. This is, you're a creative. You create. So today you're going to create this. You feel me?
Yeah. No, I didn't even think about it in that way.
So
yeah, I have my moments where I'm like, I really do not want to get in the camera today and record. I don't want to just sit there and talk. I want to do something. I want to do action. And so I'll just have a day of that.
There you go. And again, it's kind of hard to do that in I'm trying to make money doing this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard because you got to focus on a particular project and get it done and submit it and all that. But it took me a while to learn her. Like, okay, wait a second. You're not impulsive. You just... you're creative, and that just laps into everything else in life that you do.
Exactly.
So I gotta learn how to be comfortable with that, because if I suppress that, if I help you suppress that in this part of your life, it's gonna, you're gonna start suppressing it in everything else.
You're right.
So, you know, so it just, if you feel that energy that you're ready to do it, then go ahead and if it's 2 a.m, then go ahead and do it. Because I tell you what, if you go to sleep on it, and you wake up the next day, you gotta do X, Y, Z, and by the time you get ready to do it, it's a wrap.
Yes,
you know.
Oh my gosh,
you're not gonna be able to pull that energy out. You're not.
Another word, and then like, not even just like pulling the energy to do it, but I'm not gonna be in the same mindset. Like,
exactly.
I used to date a producer, and she would be up until the wee hours of the night just finishing a beat, and I'm like, why don't you just go to sleep and do it tomorrow? Like, she's like, no, I gotta keep this flow going, like, or tomorrow I'm gonna hear it and then I'm not gonna like it, and then I'm gonna have to redo it all. I'm like, okay, so that's real.
Yeah. And you gotta get it where you can. So it's like, I don't want to use the word impulsive, this is your creative. And you have to, when you get that inspiration, when you get that, you got to do it there, because if you don't, you're going to lose it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm so glad that we are talking.
And you know, it's wild because like every favorite song that I have that I like, you know what I'm saying? Like every like dope piece of art that I sing, when you hear the story about it, that's how the story happened. It wasn't like, oh, you know, I decided to start it in January, and then like I knew I was going to be done in September, and it was just like, yo, I got hit in the head. I fell down some steps. And I was like, oh, snap. My man was like, boom. And I was like, yo, let me do this now. And
I love let's how do that's it. Your analogy for everything.
You know, and then it's like, yo, boom. And it's like, oh, that's a classic hip-hop song. You know what I'm saying? It's never been like, yo, I started January, and we said, let's do this today. You know, no, it was like, oh, it was, we made a mistake. I dropped soda on this thing. And,
oh, my God.
You know, and then it's like, oh, and then I had to, like, take it out. And as I was taking it out, I heard this beat in my head. And I was like, yo, I'm gonna record this beat. That's how it happens. Yeah, it's never been like, no, well, I told her to come in on January 1st and come in at 1 o'clock. And she sang the song. We got done at 1:30, and then we sat and we kept editing. No, it was just like she broke up with her man, and they had a shootout in the front of the building. And I was like, come on in and record. And it's like, yo, that shit is hot, son. Like, you know.
It really is some hot shit.
Yeah, and that's how you got to be. Because I'm telling you, if you be like, nah, let's you know, rewind. Let everybody slow down. Come back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You know, make sure your bellies are full. You don't lose that magic, man. Then you go back to that magic, you know.
That's it.
Yep. So, man, time flew by.
Oh, my gosh, it did.
Time flew by. So, damn. So, like, anything else you want to discuss? Anything else you want to throw out there? Anything you want to say or anybody you want to cuss out?
Oh my God. I don't want to put out that energy. But
I feel you. No, I feel you.
No. I mean, I sometimes I do feel like that, but no. I mean, the only thing that I want to say is just like, I want everyone to just remember that you do have, once again, you do have control over your body. Like, don't let anyone ever tell you that you don't. And I know, like we said, you're going to bring me back and we can talk about Roe versus Wade. That's fine and all of that. But I just want to send out encouraging words to all of my people with vulvas, women, everyone during this time. You know that I am here. Please hit me up. I will drop all of my social medias and stuff like that. But I am here to talk, here to listen. Don't allow this to get you down. I mean, because it definitely
is a bump.
But don't allow it to defeat you, because you still do have, no matter what the Supreme Court says, you still do have control over your own body. So, yeah.
And you know what, Dre, I'm glad you said that, because our people are always going to do what we always did.
Mm-hmm.
We focused on community.
Mm-hmm.
And we helped each other when everybody else ain't want to help each other. We're going to continue to do it no matter what happens from this day forth. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you saying, hit me up, let me know what you need. And I think that's the message that we want to send out.
Always. I want to make sure that everyone feels heard. And if you need to vent, like, I hate it when people just feel like they have to hold that shit in. No, let it out.
Let it out. Yeah.
Oh. But you can find me at the Sacral Genie, and to spell that out is THESACRALGENIE, and that is on I'm on Facebook too. I don't really get on there, but you can find me on there. Twitter.
No, I don't have a Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. So
I know, like,
my
partner
always gets mad when I'd be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a Facebook. Oh, shut up. You know, so like. So, like, yeah, but yeah,
so that's just literally everywhere, even on TikTok, whatever you want to find me on, I'm there. You can also email me at thesacralgenie@gmail.com if you feel very inclined to do so. I also offer sensual liberation coaching, so basically everything that I was talking about, and we just have one-on-one. I do a consultation with you, see what it is that you need. And I just kind of just examine you, just see, like, you feel me? Like, where do I feel that you fall on the spectrum? Like, what is it that you need help with? Why do you feel like you're not confident in the bedroom or even just with yourself in general? And we just work through that. So
dope.
Definitely dope. Hit me up.
And if and you don't have to rewind. You know, I'm going to put all that information in the show notes, so you can just go to the show notes no matter what part of the part of the discussion that you're in. If you're in the first thing, you can still go into the show notes and look it up. So don't feel like you got to go back and rewind. So, but thanks again, Audrey, for coming
on.
Thank
you for having me.
And we're going to, and you're always welcome. So if you ever feel like, hey, you know, Danny, we need to discuss this, I'll be like, all right, let's get a date and let's do it.
Do it.
Yeah. I'm dead ass. Like if you ever feel like, hey, let's talk about this, I'll be like, all right, you know, boom, let's do it. So I don't have an issue with that.
I really do. You're a joy to talk to. You have so much personality about you.
Thank you.
Yes.
That means a lot. I appreciate that. So, all right, everybody. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you once again for listening to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I really appreciate y'all. If you want to book me for anything, a discussion, to be on your podcast, to do a workshop, let me know. You can just go to my website, omisbench.com, and you find all my contact information there. If you want to continue the discussion online on Instagram or Twitter, you can always use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you just want to holler at me, you can check me on my Twitters at DanTresOmi, DanTresOmi. Also, we have an official Twitter for the show, which is Omi's Podcast, OMIS Podcast. And you can definitely hit me up there if you want. Again, I appreciate y'all. In my link, you can also buy a coffee mug, right? That helps take care of the show, because I definitely need the money. So once again, be safe. I'm check y'all out the next episode. Word.